Welcome back. This is an advanced Ableton Live lesson on Dubwise Sub Sustain. With clean routing, we are building that never drops out low end you hear in rolling drum and bass and jungle steppers, where the sub feels continuous and confident, while the mid bass is doing all the rhythmic talking. The core idea is simple, but the execution is very disciplined. We're going to protect the sub. That means split your bass into two layers, route them cleanly, and control sustain with note length, envelope behavior, and sidechain timing, not by blasting distortion across a single bass chain and hoping it behaves. By the end, you'll have a reusable bass system, a stable mono sub that holds the floor, a mid layer that can groove and get gritty, and routing that stays mix ready and automation friendly. Before we touch synths, do a quick project setup. Set your tempo somewhere in the classic rolling zone, 172 to 176 BPM. I'll assume 174. On the master, drop utility, then a spectrum after it. And here's a pro move. Also put a spectrum directly on your sub track later. One truth meter on the master, one on the sub. The goal is to see a stable fundamental on the sub track, while the master shows the combined picture. This will save you from the classic problem, where your mid layer secretly rebuilds low frequencies and starts fighting the sub. Optional but highly recommended, temporarily set the master utility width to 0%, just for checking. You're not mixing like that forever, but you want to know early if your bass falls apart in mono. Also, take a second and think about your kick fundamental. In DNB, a lot of kicks live around 45 to 65 HE depending on the sample. You don't need an exact number, but you do need to respect that space. Now, clean routing architecture. This is the safe way. Create two MIDI tracks. Name one bass SUB and another bass MID. Select both and group them. Name the group bass bus. Here's the rule that keeps you out of trouble. Do not put heavy saturation or heavy compression on the bass bus unless you are absolutely sure it won't mess with the sub. In other words, you can group for workflow, but you don't get to casually color the group the way you might with mid-range instruments. If you want glue, keep it gentle. If you want destruction, do it on the mid layer only, or do it in a multiband way where the sub band stays clean. All right, sub layer first. This should be boring. Boring is what wins on big systems. On bass sub, load operator. Use the simplest algorithm. Just oscillator A. Set oscillator A to a sine wave. Keep pitch envelope off, or so subtle you can barely tell it's there. We want stable pitch, stable phase behavior, and no surprises. Now the amp envelope. You've got two valid philosophies here. Option 1 is note length driven sustain. In that case, you keep sustain very low, and the actual MIDI note length determines how long the sub holds. Option 2 is true held sustain, where sustain is at 0 dB and the note sustains as long as you hold it. Either can work, but for Dubwise continuous floor I usually like held sustain with a controlled release, because it stays consistent even when you start changing patterns. Set attack very short, but not zero, something like 0.5 to 3 milliseconds. Then set release to something like 50 to 120 milliseconds. Release matters a lot. Too short and you get clicks or that gated feeling. Too long and you'll smear into the next note and lose articulation. We are aiming for smooth, confident, legato-like behavior. Now add utility after operator. Turn bass mono on. Set width to 0%. This is not negotiable in club-oriented DNB. Then gain stage. Don't chase loudness. Peak somewhere around minus 12 to minus 8 dBFS on the track is a solid working range, depending on your project. The point is, headroom is part of the sound. Rolling sub feels bigger when it's not constantly shaving into limiters. After utility, add EQ8. High pass at around 20 to 25 Hz with a steep slope to remove rumble. That low subsonic junk eats headroom and doesn't help the groove. Avoid big resonant boosts down here. If you're tempted, it's usually your room lying to you. Trust the meter and check on different listening levels. Now let's program the Dubwise sustain. This is the musical part. Dubwise sustain isn't more sub. It's continuity. You get continuity from long notes, clean transitions, consistent velocity, and sidechain that breathes instead of pumps. In your sub MIDI clip, start with long notes that bridge the gaps in the mid-bass rhythm. Think of the sub as the anchor. In rolling DNB, one of the simplest patterns that works is a 1-bar or 2-bar anchor note, with occasional pitch changes on strong beats. Try this. Bar 1, hold your root note the entire bar. Bar 2, change to a nearby note for half a bar, then return to the root. That tiny move creates pressure, without turning the sub into a melody instrument. Keep velocities consistent. Sub doesn't need velocity drama unless you're doing it deliberately as a stylistic thing. One important detail people miss: clicks aren't only envelope problems. If you hear ticks even with a sensible attack and release, zoom into your MIDI notes and look for microscopic gaps. Tiny gaps can click just as much as abrupt stops. Also, watch note overlap behavior. Sometimes the way a synth re-triggers can create discontinuities. Operator is generally well-behaved, but your MIDI editing still matters. Cool. Now we build the mid layer. Movement and dirt, with the lows completely removed so it never fights the sub. On bass mid, load wave-eatable. Start with something saw-ish or PWM-ish. Add a second oscillator only if you need it, and be careful with unison. 2 to 4 voices is plenty, and keep the amount low so you don't smear the center. Choose a filter like LP24 or MS2 style. Use an envelope, like Envelope 2, to drive the filter cutoff with a moderate amount. That envelope motion is the talking of the mid layer. Now the device chain, and pay attention to the order. First device, EQ8, first in the chain. High pass at 120 to 200 Hz, steep slope. Treat this like a hard rule. You're not cleaning later. You're preventing the mid from ever becoming a low-end competitor. This one move is half of clean routing. Then add saturator. Drive somewhere between 2 and 8 dB depending on how aggressive you want it. Turn soft clip on. Try a mode like analog clip or warmth. Remember, the mid layer can be dirty. The sub cannot. If you want more movement, add auto filter and map cutoff to a macro or automate it directly for phrase energy. Add subtle chorus or phaser for width and motion, but keep it tasteful. If the mid gets too wide, it'll feel impressive in headphones and then disappear or get weird in mono. Add a utility at the end for gain staging and width control. You can push width to 80 to 120%, but you must mono check. Here's a fast routine. Turn the master width to 0% for 10 seconds, then turn it off. If your bass character changes dramatically, your mid layer is doing too much stereo trickery. Now let's make this feel like drum and bass with sidechain. We're doing two different sidechains on purpose. On the sub track, add a compressor. Sidechain input is the kick. Ratio somewhere from 2:1 to 4:1. Attack around 10 to 30 milliseconds, so the sub stays round and doesn't get instantly clamped. Release around 80 to 160 milliseconds, and set threshold so you're only getting about 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction on kick hits. That's the key. Subtle. The sub should breathe, not pump. Big pumping can work in other genres, but in most rolling DNB it makes the low end feel weak unless you're deliberately going for that exaggerated effect. Now on the mid track, add another compressor. Sidechain it to the kick as well. Use a higher ratio like 4:1 up to 10:1. Faster attack, around 1 to 10 milliseconds. Release around 60 to 140 milliseconds. Aim for maybe 3 to 8 dB of gain reduction depending on how rhythmic you want the mid to feel. And here's an advanced clean routing upgrade. Make a dedicated sidechain trigger track. Create an auto truck named a C-Trig. Route the kick and snare to it at controlled levels, and then use a C-Trig as the sidechain input for both compressors. Why? Because your sidechain behavior stays consistent even if you later change drum levels while mixing. It's one of those professional workflow moves that saves you from "why did my bass start breathing differently?" halfway through a mix. Now tune your ducking to the grid, not to taste. At around 174 BPM, loop one bar and watch the gain reduction meter. Adjust compressor release so the gain reduction tail ends right before the next important drum moment. Your rhythm aligning the recovery. This is why two producers can use the same compressor settings and one groove feels tight and the other feels sloppy. The release timing is either snapping to the rhythm or fighting it. Next, bus processing on the bass bus. The goal is glue without wrecking the sub. Start with EQ8. If the bass feels boxy, do a tiny wide dip around 250 to 400 Hz, 1 to 2 dB. If the mid needs to speak, maybe a very gentle shelf around 1 to 2 kHz, but don't force it. Then a glue compressor, lightly. Attack around 10 ms. Release on auto or around 0.3 seconds. Ratio 2:1, and keep gain reduction to 1 or 2 dB maximum. If you hear the sub changing tone, when the mid hits, you're compressing the group too hard or you've introduced distortion somewhere that's reacting to the combined signal. A limiter on the bus is optional and should be safety only, just catching stray peaks. This is not your loudness stage. Now arrangement. This is where dubwise sustain becomes a track, not just a loop. Common trick: the sub plays long-held notes across two bars, while the mid plays syncopated riffs with gaps. The listener perceives a complex bassline, but the low end is always there. Try a 16-bar drop structure like this. Bars 1 to 4. Sub holds the root. Mid is sparse. Establish weight. Bars 5 to 8. Increase mid rhythm density and start automating filter or LFO amount. Bars 9 to 12. Introduce a call and response phrase on the mid while the sub stays stable. Bars 13 to 16. Add a variation, like one bar where the sub changes note, plus a mid fill. And remember the dub rule, reverb and dubby tails on the mid only, never on the sub. If you want atmosphere, create it above the low end. Let's cover a few common mistakes so you can avoid the usual headaches. If you let the mid contain sub frequencies, you get phase smear and inconsistent translation. If you oversidechain the sub, you lose weight and the drop feels like it's missing its floor. If you distort the bass group after combining layers, you often add inconsistent harmonics to the sub and muddy the kick pocket. If your sub release is too short, you'll get clicks or that gated vibe instead of sustain. And if your sub is stereo, you're building a club system liability. Now a few advanced upgrades if you want darker or heavier vibes. 1. Consider a triangle sub instead of a pure sine. Very subtly, that adds just enough harmonics to be felt on smaller systems without turning it into mid-bass. 2. If your sub disappears on small speakers, don't widen it. Add a translation layer. Duplicate bass sub and call it bass sub harm. On that track, high pass at 90 to 120 Hz, add mild saturation, then low pass at 300 to 600 Hz. Blend it quietly. This creates controlled upper content that follows the sub pitch without contaminating the true sub. Pre. For intentional groove punctuation, build a ghost side chain. Make a MIDI track with a click or closed hat sample called a C-ghost. Program it exactly where you want the bass to dip, route it so you don't hear it, and feed it into your sidechain input. Now you can add tiny dips before snares or between kicks even if the drum samples themselves aren't giving you a clean trigger. 4. If some sub notes feel louder than others, that's often room modes and equal loudness perception. This audio version is shortened for playback.